The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? Think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Radio Row in the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Radio Row. And usually this is where we reset everything, but we're not going to because we've got a coach who's in the Final Four. Lon Kruger joins us. And first off, congratulations. You guys had a fantastic season.
That's a really good bunch. Really pleased for them. They've worked hard. They've invested time and done things together and for each other. And obviously, have gotten good results in getting here.
When you took this job at Oklahoma, you came from UNLV, where you guys had some really good success there. Oklahoma was in a down phase. It was past the Griffin era, and the last couple of years for Capel had not been pleasant. What was appealing to you about the Oklahoma job when they give you that call?
I knew the leadership there, and Joe Castiglione is the athletic director, and David Bourne is the president. Was outstanding. My wife and I loved living in Las Vegas and loved the people there and didn't really expect to move. But getting back to the Big 12, back into the Midwest, which was where our homes, where we grew up, the OU brand was so strong that we thought perhaps we could recruit the type of people that would give us a chance to play in a Final Four. And our coaches, Crutchfield and Hill and Henson, did a great job in identifying this group of seniors and seeing how they might mesh together and get good results.
Almost everybody we've talked to has talked about the senior influence on this Final Four. How important is that, not just to your team, but to the other teams and that you've seen?
Seems like this year in college basketball, there's been more older players, more teams with older players. And certainly in the Big 12, that was the case through Kansas, through Iowa State. Texas had some older guys. So a lot of good teams were represented by senior-type players. So it's very important, that leadership, the confidence, the security. They've been able to focus at key moments in ball games. And obviously played their best basketball last weekend in Anaheim. So anxious to see how they do tomorrow.
When you bring Buddy Hield in, obviously the amount that he's grown since he's been at Oklahoma is unbelievable. To watch that guy early on, to see him this season, you wouldn't even think it was the same guy. When you first recruited him, what was your expectation of what he could become? Did you ever expect that he'd be a National Player of the Year finalist and lead you to a Final Four?
Of course, hard to project that level, of course, but we knew Buddy had a passion for playing. We knew his work ethic was great. He had an ability to focus on the areas that he needed to improve in. A lot of times young players will go into the gym and do the things they do well and they're most comfortable doing. Buddy was always looking for what he could do to improve his game, and then he would work on it, whether it be better with the left hand or getting to the rim better or shooting the ball better. Buddy's improved every year, and we'll continue to do that. That's the thing about him. He's improved so much from last year, in which he was a player of the year in the conference. He's improved tremendously going into this season.
Going in, did you feel like this team had a chance to be special from the beginning, or was there a moment in the season where it kind of hit you that, hey, these guys could go a long way here?
This group basically lost a Sweet 16 game in last possession to Michigan State a year ago, so we knew we had a good group back, and didn't know exactly how that would impact them, but they were really focused in the spring and summer and fall in terms of their individual workouts, time in the gym by themselves. The older guys just almost mandated each other to be there and work. And so at that point, going into the season, we knew they'd put the time in, and we knew they liked playing together. They make plays for each other. Didn't know, quite frankly, that they would shoot the ball as well as we did early in the season, because really we didn't do it to that percentage last year. And then Jordan Wooder stepped up and becomes a terrific shooter. Isaiah Cousins led the conference last year in three-point shooting and came back and shot it well. And then Buddy off the charts, going from you know, high 30s to 50% from three-point range. And that's kind of unheard of to have three guys jump like that from three-point range.
When you've got a guy like Buddy, and it's obviously a special, but it's a special occasion to have a guy like that, especially have him as a senior, which not many guys get guys like him to be seniors. You've got Isaiah Cousins, who you mentioned is a senior, Ryan Spangler, who's been an all-Big 12 guy. He's a senior. Do you feel like this is kind of your moment right now? This Final Four is your Final Four, that if you're going to get one, this may be the best chance you've got?
Well, always when you have experience like that, it's probably your better opportunity. But we love our young guys. You know, we love Jermaine Manise, the freshman, backing up Kadeem Latin as a sophomore, and Christian James as a freshman, has given us great minutes off the bench here late. Rashard Odoms is a terrific young guy from Coppers Cove right down the road. He's going to be an outstanding player and then get into the rotation this year. Dante Buford's backing up Spangler at the four, and he's a freshman. So we've got the older guys, younger guys, but really like the younger guys and love our recruiting class that's coming in. So I think because of what the older guys have done, that winning culture is going to carry us for a while. And I think it'll carry us long enough to give those younger guys a chance to mature and get better.
Tough matchup tomorrow. Obviously, you're familiar with this team. What do you guys need to do to get it done?
Villanova's really good. You know, Jay's clubs always are great in terms of disciplined, well-coached defensively, share the ball offensively, a lot of good weapons offensively. Across the board, we've got, take care of the rebounding. That's always an up-and-down situation for us. When we've rebounded the ball well, we've had a better chance. Transition defensively, offensively, we want to try to get ours in transition, not give them theirs, and that's easier said than done. We got to move the ball offensively. We got to stay on the attack. Our group, they've swung away. They've not been fearful of anything. And last week, again, they got off to two great starts in the first half against A&M and in Oregon. And I know they're lining up tomorrow and anxious to swing away.
When you took that Florida team in the early 90s, to the Final Four, that was not a team that was loaded with talent that you would expect to see, come together like this. How do you compare those two or that team to this team and what the feeling's been like coming in with a team with guys like Buddy Hield who are everybody's expecting you to have, everybody's saying you've got the best player in the tournament. How's it feel different for you, I guess I should say?
Well, it's great to have Buddy, of course. The Florida team, people kind of forget a little bit, that was a 3 seed going in. So it wasn't like they weren't, a talented group. We had a good bunch of players. Maybe they weren't as highly recruited.
I think you did a hell of a job with that team, Coach.
Well, appreciate that. But they maybe weren't as the highly ranked recruits coming out, nor were the guys on this team here. But those rankings aren't always accurate either. I think you miss out on some of the intangibles when you got guys with character, guys that are good teammates, guys that care about one another and line up and bust it every day.
Well, Coach, good luck tomorrow. Good luck with the whole tournament. And also just want to thank you for your work with Coaches versus Cancer. I know you've raised an awful lot of money, and that's a very important thing you guys
are
doing.
Well, thank you very much. Cancer is a terrible disease, and coaches throughout the country. That's the Coaches National Association of Basketball Coaches. That's our signature charity, is fighting cancer. And coaches, we've raised, across the country, raised in 25 years over $100 million in the fight. And whether it be a gala or a bowl-a-thon or a lunch or a breakfast, coaches are really committed to it, and we appreciate the support of everyone joining that fight.
All right, well, we thank you for spending some time with us, and good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Coach Lon Kruger, Oklahoma, that's pretty cool to be able to get coach day before game. That usually doesn't happen.
Yeah, not very often.
No, so that was pretty cool. All right, let me reset things a little bit. First off, Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row is being brought to you by Burger King. The new Whopper at Burger King will leave you seeing red. Why? It has a red bun. Introducing the Angriest Whopper, the only Whopper with hot sauce baked right into the bun. Get one now at Burger King. Restrictions apply. I'm behind on a couple of these. All right, I got to do one more.
Give me one more.
Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row has been powered by CDW, using technology to create value for our customers. That's orchestration. That's what CDW does. CDW, people who get it. All right, we are at Radio Row, so if you want to get in, your best bet is hit us up on the text line, 713-780-3776, or on Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever. And we've got a lot more interviews to go as we get ready for the Final Four here in Houston, Texas. And you're supposed to tell them about...
mycomputercareer.edu. Maybe some of you guys aren't doing the kind of job that you wish you were doing. Maybe you're not making the kind of money you wish you were making. That happens. It happens to a lot of people. But what I do notice is there's a lot of guys in the IT industry, and they're all making plenty of money. That could be you. Everybody's got a buddy in IT. Everybody's buddies are paying their bills. You know this. The place to go to get these skills, mycomputercareer.edu. There's a ton of computer jobs out there. IT consistently ranks as one of the fastest growing job industries in the country, particularly here in Houston. It's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. There's a huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists that will work with you to get you hired, because there's companies all over the city hiring IT guys. But to get these jobs, you've got to have these skills and certifications. Listen, going back to school, I know what you're thinking. It takes a long time. It's costly. I understand that. Not with My Computer Career, though. You could be in and out of school in less than a year. You can be working in less than a year while you're still going to school, making that money, finally. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and making more money. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Radio Row in the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Radio Row. Need to get a couple more of these in. Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row is being brought to you by Ford. There is one elite team with Ford design tools, Ford certified training, and Ford back parts. They are the specialists at Ford. There you go. So that was kind of cool that we got Lon Kruger when he's playing a game tomorrow.
No doubt. That doesn't happen often.
No, and it didn't really give us a chance to talk much about Frank Martin, but that guy's hard to root against, man.
He really is. He's one of the best guys. Like I said, there were not very many things to like about a trip to Manhattan, Kansas, but Frank Martin is one of the best people and one of the best coaches I've ever dealt with professionally. I like that guy a lot. I've got no reason to be a fan of South Carolina basketball outside of him. I'd like to see that program have some success.
Well, and the way they handled the text messaging thing from their end was pretty damn classy, which was, it wasn't going to come out. They weren't going to let, you know, but the NCAA did it. So I just, you got to admire the way they handled that, because that couldn't have been easy.
Nope.
But, yeah, so we're out here at the George R. Brown Radio Row, and starting to thin out a little bit. You can always tell when they've taken the food away.
That's when people start to leave.
Yeah, they're trying to send a message. But Fan Fest is out here. It's really going to be hopping over the next few days. And if you get a chance, come check some of this stuff out. It's a rare opportunity when we get these in town, and get out to the Fan Fest. And if you can't make it to the games, go out and watch them somewhere. Have fun. All right, one more. The NFL welcomes the newest members of its family with the NFL Draft starting Thursday, April 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Catch it on ESPN, NFL Network, NFL Mobile, and Westwood One. Okay. I only got about 10 more of these left.
All right.
I think I can do this.
Well on our way.
Yeah. But, if you want to get in, Twitter, Facebook, the text line are your best bets. We can't take any phone calls. But we will have RJ Bell, as usual, next segment. And we'll talk to him about
that. Makes me happy.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Friday without RJ.
No.
So, Michael Pearson, are we going to get any more people here, or is this it?
Is that the end of our? That's probably it. Mike says. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, we do have some that we already did, but
okay.
Yeah. You know, well, we will have some interviews. It's just no more live ones. That's fine. All right. 713-780 ESPN is your number. We have hardly had any chance to talk about this, but baseball's about to start.
Yeah. Almost time.
It's almost there. I mean, we'll have a little time to talk about it on Monday, obviously, but well, by then, there'll be games going on.
There will be. So the Astros will have already played by the time we're on the air on Monday.
That's true. They will be done. They'll be 1-0.
Yeah, okay.
Dallas Keuchel will be 1-0.
All right.
As they repeat their victory of last year.
Okay.
I don't know if they're
going to. I feel like I'm that guy right now that everybody always says I am, like the pessimistic Houston guy. I just have a hard time seeing them matching what they did last year.
See, I don't. I think they're going to be better,
But I also think the other teams in that division are better. So it may not translate into record. And a lot depends on if McCullers is healthy.
Well, I just mean, like, I have a hard time picturing them as a team that can get back to the, you know, ALCS.
They didn't make it
or
to the ALCS.
ALDS. I mean, like, I just have a – I don't know. I mean, I think that they can – I don't know. Again, like you said, this division is going to be better. I think the league as a whole, the AL as a whole is better. And I don't think the Astros necessarily got way worse over the offseason, but I don't know that they got better either.
I think their bullpen's significantly better.
Okay.
And that was something they desperately
That was a big hole for them, for sure.
The rotation is about the same. I think depends on when McCullers comes back healthy and how much he'll be back by the end of April. And how much he improves, if he improves, which I think he will.
But I think you also have to – you still need improvement from Colin McHugh. So you're asking a lot of guys to sort of continue an upward.
I think you've got what you got the same thing you got out of McHugh last year. I think you're fine with that.
Okay.
And really, what you need is for Pfister or Feldman to be a functional fifth starter for you, because you pretty much have everything else covered, at least at the start of the season. Guys get hurt, that's where you're going to need depth. But I look at this lineup for the first time in years, and I say, you know what? It's not a bad lineup. It's not there yet. It's not what it's going to be. But if one of these kids steps up, yeah, I could see them doing the same thing. I don't know that they will, because I think being a better team might not translate into more wins.
Right.
And that might, and they barely got in, so that might not be enough. But I'm not going to be surprised at all. And I just disagree with you on that. I don't have a hard time seeing them do that. I have an easy time seeing them do that. They could also tank.
That could happen,
and you know,
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to fall apart and just be bad.
If Keuchel got hurt, if Correa gets hurt, that would be pretty bad. Then they could easily tank, but I don't think on the surface. I think they're still probably a year away from being the kind of team that I think they'll be.
Okay,
but I think they're close, and they were close enough last year, and they weren't. To me, this is less of an illusion than the Rockets making the Western Conference Finals last year. I don't think it was an illusion that the Astros got to the playoffs. I think they arrived a little bit ahead of schedule. Now how they deal with that success is going to be the big question. And I think they will be a better team this year if everybody's healthy. And what that translates into, I don't know. But it wouldn't shock me at all if they're back in the series. It wouldn't shock me if they're third in the division and miss out.
I always just say, you know, rosters that strike out as much as this one will almost assuredly strike out. Although I think at first base they should cut down on that number significantly, which will help, because first base produced a lot of strikeouts last year. But when you've got a bunch of guys who are high volume strikeout guys, George Springer is a high volume strikeout guy. Colby Rasmus is a high volume strikeout guy. Evan Gattis, when he comes back, will still be a high-volume strikeout guy. You just have a lot of those guys that strike out a ton, and I always feel like offense is sort of a coin flip when you have that kind of – when that's the way your team is built. I mean, you'll have nights where you score a ton of runs, but you'll have nights where you just can't get anything going because guys are losing at bats.
Yeah, although I think, you know, this is the kind of team they built for a reason. It's built to fit that park.
That's true.
And I'm not a fan of it either, but – it's like Tyler White. He doesn't strike out that much.
No,
maybe
that's what I'm saying. Like I think the first not cutting down on that number at first base is going to help.
Well, he won't strike out as much as Chris Carter did.
Almost impossible.
I can assure you of that. But no, I'm not gonna sit here and say they're a World Series contender. I think that's a little premature. And I know that Vegas has them 15-1. So
the third favorite.
So I'm not ready to go there yet. But I think. I like the makeup of this team, and we'll see how they deal with success now.
I think there's a couple guys that are really key to what this season will be. I think one of them is George Springer. I think George Springer has to become more of an impact player, not just, you know, everybody's favorite guy. He actually has to start putting up numbers that match that and become I'm not saying he has to be a superstar, but he needs to be better than what he's been so far.
I agree.
And he needs to stay on the field. I think Carlos Gomez if Carlos Gomez can find a way to return to what he was before last season, to me, that's like that's almost like finding money in
that's
on
like
the ground.
That's like adding another all-star player.
It really is. And
he's a key element for me.
It's a real question mark because Carlos Gomez is 30, and sometimes guys who are built on their speed, that's around the time they start to not be effective. And so it's possible that this is just like last year is just what Carlos Gomez is. But if Carlos Gomez from 2013 or 2014 shows up, I mean, you've got a stud on that team that you didn't have last year.
Yeah.
Because he was, I mean, it's not like he was awful last year, but he wasn't the Carlos Gomez that he had been for the couple years before that. And I think what happens with, you know, some of these guys, like Colby Rasmus, whoever they end up putting at third base, which right now it looks like Valbuena, Jason Castro, one of these guys has to hit over 250. Like, somebody's got to step up and just be a decent hitter. Not someone who just hits some home runs and then strikes out all the time. I mean, 230 from your cleanup guy is unacceptable, and that's what Colby Rasmus, who's projected to hit cleanup right now, that's what he hit last year. You can't have that.
No, and you can't really get fooled by – I mean, Rasmus was terrific down the stretch and in the playoffs, but
– Colby Rasmus isn't a great player.
But for most of the season, he was not very good last year.
No.
He's a very good defensive player.
Right.
But he's not a great hitter.
But he did get hot at the right time.
He did. But let's not forget all those games before that.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, we got to remember that just because you're a fan favorite doesn't mean that you're not expected to put up numbers. And that some of these guys need to start doing that.
All right. I want to tell you, Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row being brought to you by Harley-Davidson. See your dealer and check out the new Harley-Davidson Lowriders with 110 cubic inches of power and a stripped-down look. Check it out at h-d.com/today. Live your legend. Quick break. We come back. It is RJ Bell. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
ESPN 975. Razor.
And it makes me wonder. And we are back on the Blitz, live from Radio Row. And as we do every Friday at 5:30, time to bring on our favorite guest, pregame.com's RJ Bell. Mr. Bell, how the heck are you, sir?
The traveling world-class radio host. Wherever there's excitement, they're there.
I mean, we're just down the street from our studio.
Well, still, it's where the excitement is. Right? When I was at the Mayweather Radio Row here in Vegas, I wasn't playing that down.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of excitement around here. You're right, RJ. This is crazy. It's wild.
Well, radio. Listen, let's give a hint. Radio Rose rarely is exciting. I will say that Mayweather Pacquiao, that was pretty exciting. The radio.
Well, there was a lot of famous people there that had nothing to do with sports. That's when Radio Row is exciting to me.
Because, yeah, like, yeah. Sports stars. Was there?
Yeah, sports stars don't do it for me anymore. Like, I'm so jaded on, like, everybody's like, oh, you get to meet that guy. I'm like, that doesn't really matter. But, like, when non-sports stars come through, then I'm kind of like, if movie stars or music stars are around, that's when I'm a little bit wowed, I think.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
So let's talk about these games. One of the things that I think is very interesting is how they view this venue in terms of the totals. Because playing in this big of a stadium, how it affected Vegas's look at how they did the spreads.
Yeah, actually, I went back and forth a number of times with a New York Times writer, and they did a big story on this. They had some KenPom stuff and some of my stuff in there, and I actually tweeted that link at RJ in Vegas today. But the venue's a big factor. The easy part is that the expected scoring has been downgraded. They expect less scoring, and the estimate is about 4 points per game. So right now, if you look at the total, North Carolina Syracuse 145 would have been about 149 in a typical average venue. Also, though, and this is, I think, even more important, is anytime you have a difficult shooting venue, the team that doesn't need to rely upon the outside shot has an advantage. And clearly amongst these four teams, that's North Carolina. And a number of bettors I've talked to here in Vegas talk about how they've upgraded North Carolina in both their matchups potentially, you know, this Saturday and Monday because of the outside shooting problems in the venue.
RJ, one of our listeners had a question that he wanted me to pass on. Is there an advantage to the teams that play the first game on a Saturday because when you get back to the finals, because the late game, a lot of times it's after 1 o'clock before they get in there. It's a much quicker turnaround. Is there anything to indicate that there might be an advantage for the team that plays the earlier game?
Okay, so I'm saying coming with Monday, up to Monday.
Yeah, for Monday,
oh,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, coming out of the games tomorrow.
I think it's a good point, right? So what is it, 3 hours probably, right, of difference? And it's about 48 hours. So, I mean, you know, 3 out of 48, I think it's greater than zero. I'm not sure it's material.
Okay. Just passing it on.
You know, you also could make the point, and I'm just thinking about this. This is my opinion, not professional bettors, but is, you know, the team that plays the second game probably, I mean, let's think, how are they, so the team that plays the first game gets to really watch the second game in a comfortable way. But the team that plays the second game probably isn't watching the first game. You would say there's a little advantage there, maybe. But again, obviously, they're going to rewatch it, the game again. But it, you know, in theory, it'd be one more watch, too, I guess.
Let me get back to that North Carolina game, because you said the Sharps are kind of favoring them because of the venue.
Let me be clear. It's not that I like them or the Sharps like them laying 9.5. It's the fact they've been upgraded because of the venue. That this line might only be 9. Or 8.5 if it weren't for the venue.
It's 9.5 seems like a big number to me. I kind of like Syracuse at that. Tell me why I'm wrong.
First of all, I agree with you. And, you know, we talk about key numbers all the time in football. And the key numbers in football are 3, 7, 10, 14. Usually combinations of 3 and 7. And in basketball, people don't think there's really key numbers. But there are. And the key numbers are typically 6, 7, and 8. Because if you think about the way a game typically, and you know, 6.5, 7.5, the way a game typically ends is eventually a team will get up by 3 possessions, so 7 or more. And once they're up by 3 possessions, the other team quits fouling. Now, in a game like this, they're going to foul a little deeper into the clock because even if it's a 1,000-to-1 shot, they want to take it because it's such a big game. But still, once you're up to 9.5, there's really no way for Syracuse to play. If it, you know, think about overtime, right? You will often lose a game +5.5 in overtime, but you rarely lose a game at +9.5. So if you really think about it, it's almost like if this game's even with 5 minutes left, there's a heck of a chance Syracuse covers. You know, you're up, you know, way up there. And if this line were only 5.5, then that's not the case at all. It could be 30 seconds left tied, and you can lose by 6 pretty easy. So, to me, I think the you might say there's only a couple of points difference between, you know, the lower numbers and the higher numbers here. But the fact you're at 9.5 means the only way North Carolina covers is by clearly outplaying Syracuse. Only way Syracuse loses is getting clearly outplayed. That said, I think North Carolina is the clearly better team, but I do think it's a jumbo number. So if I had to lean, and I won't be betting this game on the side, but I would be leaning towards Syracuse.
I feel a little bit silly because when I made my numbers when these matchups were announced, I had Syracuse +9, but I had Oklahoma at -1, -1.5. Even though they beat the snot out of Villanova early in the season down in Hawaii, but I was actually hoping for a number like that because I like Villanova in this game. And now the number is at Villanova -2. What's made the number go Villanova's way in your opinion?
Well, I think that this is a sharp number. Is I think come Saturday, come tip off, there's going to be a significant majority of public betting, recreational betting on Oklahoma. Here's the rationale. There's one player that really has broken through as a individual player, and it's Buddy Hield. And they're thinking, wait a minute, we get that Buddy Hield guy, that Buddy guy that makes all those three-pointers, and I'm getting points too? Who's Villanova? So I think this is a trap game, meaning Vegas is setting this up, and they're saying we don't mind lopsided action on Oklahoma because that's what they're going to be getting. I'm not certain, but I'm close to certain about it. And thus, I do think your instincts are exactly right. Villanova's the right side, even at -2. And let's quickly talk about that Hawaii matchup. So that was in December. Oklahoma won 78-55. OU shot better than 50% from three-point range. Villanova shot 4 of 32. 4 of 32. Now, you might say, well, that's a sign of how good Oklahoma played their defense. They just shot really bad, for one. But here's the second thing. College basketball, more than any other sport, the trend line matters throughout the season. As in, the way you play in December is very different than the way you play in March, mostly because of youth, especially if you have a young team. But number two, in this case, is when you change your scheme, the way you play. Villanova has added a zone defense. They play a decent amount of the time. This year was the first year, and early in the season, it was not effective. And now it's very effective. And I think the combination of that zone with the poor shooting venue really should help Villanova play some great defense here. I think you've got to toss out that Hawaii game from December. Villanova, if I had to bet, I'm not sure I'm going to bet them, but if I had to bet one of these two sides, it would be Villanova.
RJ, how much action is this going to take compared to other big sporting events?
Yeah, this is fun. So on our local ESPN show here in Vegas, I had on, and I host on Mondays, I had on the VP at Cantor Gaming, CG Technologies, their new name, biggest bookmaker in Vegas. They take the biggest bets. And I asked him two questions. I said, if you look at the college basketball title game, so Monday's game, against the college football playoff title game, how much action's on each? He said three times as much action on the college football game. And then I said, okay, what about, let's say, San Antonio, Golden State, game three, let's say in the middle of the series in the Western Conference Championship? He said about equal. So that's pretty amazing on the NBA side, is a seven-game series amongst multiple playoff games. Obviously, a marquee series would be about the same action as the college basketball title game on Monday, and the college football being three times as big as the college basketball.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing because, especially with the way the action starts off early in the tournament, I would think that people would still be hanging around to play the finals. But
well, they are. I mean, even three times is a lot, or one-third as much is a lot. But remember now, there's 60-plus games in the NCAA tournament, and you add it all up, there's more money than the Super Bowl. But it's not like, I mean, let's be honest. If someone that was a casual sports fan said, hey, I'm taking the wife to a movie Monday night, if this wasn't, let's just say it ends up being North Carolina Syracuse or something, I mean, obviously guys like us are going to watch the game. But, I mean, even casual fans that sometimes will watch a big Monday game on ESPN or something, might, if it's inconvenient, not watch. I mean, I don't get any sense a championship game is anything like the college football title game or obviously not the Super Bowl.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com. And if you haven't checked out the website, you need to. Lots of free stuff on there. And RJ's got his own show in Vegas. You check that out as well. Does a great job and joins us every week. And I guess next week we will be in your city, my friend.
Well, we're going to have to try to have a drink. I can't drink with you guys. I'll come halfway through and probably be just fine.
Yeah, you just,
you got to listen, handicap.
I want to see you. I want to see you plowed.
You got to give me a 6.5 bourbon spread.
I want to see you plowed, RJ. I want to see you. I want to see you stumble into an Uber at the end of the night.
You know, it's funny. One of my best buddies growing up, he was at my wedding. He's sitting in the other room. He saw me plowed a bunch, but I was 14 or 15 years old. Is when you're. That's the funny thing, and we were laughing about it. We grew up. I know we got to run, but we grew up in a town 4,000 people. It was a lot like Friday Night Lights. That football, Ohio, the whole thing. And obviously that's Texas, like you guys. But, I mean, literally, we were drinking hard at 12, 13 years old. I mean, hard. And then by the time I was like 23, I was done boozing.
I always wonder that. I mean, I tell you.
When did you guys start?
I probably started drinking like regularly. I say regularly. I mean, I was in the Army when I was 17. So by then, yeah, I was drinking all the time. But I didn't really start drinking like at parties and stuff till I was 15 or 16.
Okay, yeah, but still pretty young.
Yeah, right around the time when I realized that booze helped me get laid. That was when suddenly it's like, oh, this alcohol is a hell of a thing.
Did it help you because the girl was a little more open, or because you were more open to different girls?
Maybe a little bit of both.
It helps both directions.
That's right. It's a wonder drug. It's a wonder drug.
I didn't actually start until I was about 17 or 18. Well, 16. But I was smoking weed when I was 10. So.
Oh, there you go. But listen, we're special. Listen, if there's two people who should be on the radio a number of hours a day in one of the biggest markets in the country, it's you two. Let's be honest.
It's
smoking
because
weed when you were 10, in the army when you were 17.
I was shooting black tar heroin when I was 7. I mean, a lot of people don't realize.
Well, you know, I'm actually, that might be the first time I ever heard you say something I didn't believe. Like, it's hard for you. You could say I spent 3 years in Singapore, you know, working as a stable boy or something, and I'd be like, yep, makes sense. But I finally don't believe you.
You're right. I couldn't figure out how to work the, I couldn't figure out how to heat up the spoon when I was 7. It was very strange.
All right, RJ. Well, look forward to seeing you next week, man. And thanks as always. Great stuff, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I need to tell you on the way out here, Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row being brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. When it comes to safety, there's nothing more important than your vehicle's brakes. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts and accessories you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices, every day. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Radio Row in the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We're having a finals party at House of Blues on Monday, April 4th. We're broadcasting live all day long. Mike and Mike will kick the day off at 5 a.m., followed by Reality Check, John and Raheel with Dell, Unfiltered, Houston Game Day, and The Blitz. There will be special breakfast buffets, happy hour specials, and we'll have special guests stopping by all day. Did we mention it's opening day in baseball, too? We'll have the game on to watch your hometown heroes take on the Yankees at noon. Don't miss a second of action at House of Blues, Monday, April 4th, brought to you in part by Papa John's. Also need to tell you, Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row being brought to you by John Deere. It's deer season at your local John Deere dealer. The sales event you don't want to miss. Check out local offers and find a participating dealer near you at myjohndeeredealer.com. John Deere. All right. Almost there. Almost there. We're going to make it. I can promise you, we're going to make it. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, has your dog ever brought something back from the yard where you go, okay, like a squirrel or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. My dog that died did.
Yeah.
Not the other dog. He doesn't care about what's going on in the yard. And they did drag the near lifeless body of the neighbor's poodle to the porch. They were very proud of that. Yeah.
Look what we got.
Look what broke into the yard and peed on our grass. Look what we've done to this criminal. And sure enough, I had to drag that bloody pile of white fur back to the owner's house and say, hey, you might want to keep your dogs from digging under my fence. It's going to be bad for their health going forward. But that's it, yeah.
But nothing really unique or different or interesting.
No.
Nothing like, oh, a bag full of $1,000 worth of marijuana.
No, I wish I had that kind of dog.
I do too. Miley, who is a black lab mix, will get a certificate for bringing home a pound of marijuana that started an investigation in Mississippi.
Oh, good dog.
Sheriff's spokeswoman said, we are proud of her. We love her. I would have loved her more had they not given it to the police. But apparently the investigation's ongoing. On March 26th, she left the house to go outside and do her business. And brought back what appeared to be at first trash that she had torn through. But on closer inspection, Miley's owner suspected it was weed.
After smoking it, she suspected it was weed. Yeah.
The owner then contacted law enforcement and turned over the one-pound cash, which appeared to have been packaged in several baggies for sale and was valued at $1,000. I think I'm probably keeping a couple of those. Just
at least
all of it. Yeah. But so if your dog brings home weed, yeah, do the right thing. Give it to, well, I don't know. Do whatever your conscience tells you to do. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right. We have not talked about the big signing by your Texans today.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was an April Fool's joke when I first saw it.
I kind of thought so, too. So I was scared to really delve into it because it easily could have been, and no one would have said anything, right?
Yeah. They'd been like, oh, okay.
You got us. Ha ha. But the Texans appear to be committed to Brandon Whedon.
Their backup quarterback.
Okay. So they listened to what we said or what I said the other day about Brian Hoyer, and they said, no, AJ's wrong. We got to sign Brandon Whedon.
Well, I think it also says more about Tom Savage. That, oh, you know what? We can't trust this guy to stay on the field.
Maybe so.
Which we've been saying all along.
But, I mean, do you it's not – I think what this does is it opens up the idea that Brian Hoyer's not going to be here.
Well, but that's been pretty clear. So we've known that now. That story's been out for several days.
And this also probably means that it's the last year for Tom Savage as a Texan.
Well, what I could see happening there is if they draft a developmental quarterback somewhere in the draft, or they sign one as an undrafted free agent, and that guy winds up being better than Tom Savage, you might not survive this year.
That's true, too.
But I think the Hoyer thing, it's pretty clear they're going to move on from him. I might have held off. I guess it doesn't matter if they can flip him for whatever pick. Does it matter that they've already signed Brandon Whedon if everybody knew they weren't going to keep him?
No. I mean, again, it's pretty much known. And the Texans have a miraculous way of doing this. Most players most people would tell you that once you say that we're going to release or trade somebody, it almost always ends in release because teams are not willing to give up an asset to get a guy because, you know, they know you're just going to dump him. But it seems the Texans with quarterbacks have a way with this. You remember they traded Ryan Fitzpatrick for something. They traded Matt Schaub for something.
Case Keenum.
They traded Case Keenum. They traded T.J. Yates for something. They always find a way to get something back on quarterbacks that everyone knows is going to be gone. Yet they find a way. I'm sure they'll find a way to get something out of Brian Hoyer.
All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. Hour number three is coming up. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.